Iowa everywhere.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Success in farming is all about precision and efficiency. Ensuring every seed, every drop of water, every nutrient and treatment counts. TerraPlex Ag is helping farmers all over Iowa and the Midwest do just that. With precision ag drone technology and support from TerraPlex, you'll boost your productivity and make timely and informed decisions, all while reducing your costs and increasing your profit. It's time to revolutionize your farming. Harvest the benefits with TerraPlex Ag. Visit TerraPlexAg.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is April 23rd, a new episode of Making Mems coming your way with myself, Adam Pedersen, and back in Iowa, I don't know if he's happy about it or not, Jordan Bohannon. You guys might have heard of him. Hit a few shots in the days for the Hawks.
A few back in the old, old century of 21.
Yep. You can still get it up. There's going to be a day when we're going to go play some pickup at the gym and just absolutely work some fools.
I don't know about that one. My time has neared.
I'm 37, and my dad and like some farmers back in the day would always play pickup ball. My dad told me around 35, they all started getting like really bad injuries. And so most of my friends have quit playing. I still play occasionally, and I'm injury free. I'm good to go. I hit the weight room a lot. I feel agile and strong for a big boy, but I figure my day is probably coming, so I don't do it a ton anymore. But a lot of my friends have also gotten like knee injuries, ACLs, destroyed their ankles playing in their 30s. So history repeats itself, apparently.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like everyone gets into wanting, it's not a bad thing. I don't want to say this as a bad way, but people just want to experience playing athletics still. And That's at the point where everyone starts getting injured, because some people just, not saying this is the case with everyone, but some people just like to take it to the next level for no reason that it should be.
Yep.
And making some moves they probably shouldn't be making on the basketball court because their body can't handle it.
Yep.
And then pop goes the weasel.
Yep. Pop goes the weasel and on goes the cast. You know what? I think that's why I haven't gotten injured, because I know my role. I know my limitations. I play the post. I get a lot of rebounds. I let you know that you're not as good as you think when you come at me in the post, and I stay healthy and injury free for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I didn't see my friends, like, because they're always asking me like to come play basketball and come play in this league. And I'm like, guys, I have no effort or any motivation to play in that league. And they're like, wow, man, it would be so much fun. We could just dominate everyone. I was like, I did my time competitive basketball. Okay. I don't need to beat up on a bunch of kids that, you know, I know I can beat them. Like, it's just not worth my time.
Do you ever go out and get shots up or anything? You ever just go shoot around occasionally?
I have not touched a basketball since last August.
Since the day we met, probably.
Yeah. It was probably about the time we met, and it was honestly about the time it was a little after, I guess, we met, because we did the golf. We golfed together.
Yep.
Was that July-ish, I think?
Yeah, so it was.
That was August, wasn't
it? I think it was August, yep.
Yeah, so that was like, privately, I already knew I was done playing. I don't even think I told you that at the time being, but yeah. I knew I was done playing at that point, and I haven't touched basketball.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, because it's all about golf now, baby. It's all about golf.
The day my shoulder, dude. I've had a torn labrum in my right shoulder since junior year at Iowa. Mm-hmm. And you guys know I had 17 senior years at Iowa. So it's been going on for a while. And man, dude, my shoulder is just, I don't know if it's because how many shots, like that motion I did like so many times in my life. I don't know if that's the case, but I would always get cortisone shots in my shoulder like every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that like made it worse, but dude, like I've been golfing lately and it's hurting so damn bad. And it's just so
frustrating. Not good.
Yeah.
I have not golfed a single round this year. It's very depressing. I got to get out. I can't justify going to play a round of golf when there's all this stuff to do on the farm. My dad would look at me sideways like I'm a failure to the family. So I can't do it. I just got to do the farm work instead.
I played on Sunday and it was fun. I always have a fun time on the golf course, but it was so damn windy and cold.
Oh, a freaking man. Wind sucks.
Yeah.
We're in a wind advisory today, and we're in a wind advisory Thursday, and it's supposed to be windy all weekend here. We are in, today is like our 11th day in the past 2 weeks being in a wind advisory here in Northwest Iowa. I am so sick of it. I'm talking 40 miles per hour. It might be windy. I'm sure it's windy where you're at. It's windy a lot of other places. I hear people commenting on it, but I'm talking 40 to 50 here continuously. I hate it. I mean, you've experienced the Northwest Iowa wind. It's freaking god awful.
It's horrible, and it pisses you off. I don't know why. Is there a need for the wind, like environmentally? No,
there's. It makes the windmills work, but they shut the windmills off because it gets so dang windy. We need what we need.
Wait. The windmills that are supposed to be harvesting the wind, they get turned off when
they get turned off when it gets this windy because they'll break. They'll get going so crazy they'll break. So that's a point that proves that there's a point where it's too much wind.
So I'm just confused on this whole windmill situation. You have windmills to harvest the wind, but when it's windy, you turn the windmills off to harvest the wind.
Well, when it gets like over 25 mile per hour, 20 mile per hour, they turn them off. Otherwise, they're always cooking when it's 10, 15. They're always generating energy. But if it gets too windy, they turn them off because then they're going to just break.
Can you just get like a little mini windmill and put that in the ground?
I should get like an 8 foot one for the farm. See if I can power the whole farm.
Or like a 2 foot one, like just a little tiny one in the ground.
I should. Dude, it's the wind. Oh my gosh. Yesterday was just horrible. Today I went and did chores at 5:30 this morning, so I didn't have to do them in the wind before this pod because it's going to be terrible here in like an hour. And the wind's going to be, it's no fun. It's good for kiting. That's it.
I'm right there with you. I hate it.
Yeah. I wanted to go back to something you said quick, tell a little story. You were talking about your friends asking you to play in pickup leagues, and you were like, I don't need to go play against a bunch of guys I know I'm better than. My freshman year, I think it was my freshman year at UNI. I don't know if you remember a guy named Dylan Grimsley. He played at Sioux City Heelan, and he went and played at UNI.
Okay.
So, and he was a stud. I remember watching him in high school. And so, and he didn't play a ton at UNI. I think he only played like 5 minutes a game and then transferred to a Division II school. So that makes this, that just shows even more how much better you high level players are than us. So I go to the rec to play some pickup ball and he walks in. No one knew who he was except me because I remember watching him in high school. And I was like, oh man, this will be interesting. We'll see how we can hang with someone who's actually playing D1. This guy torched us. Whoever's team he was on, I mean, I'm talking shot 75%, maybe 50 to 60% from three. Didn't even look like he was trying, running circles, breaking ankles. He torched us. And this is a guy who basically sat on the bench at UNI. So I think that's a good reminder to a lot of people out there that think they can do it. You probably cannot.
It's true, though. It's true. That reminds me of a story of myself. So I actually lied to you. I did touch a ball here.
Oh, here we go. In
California.
Ooh.
We're going to the Jimmy Buffett concert. We stopped in a city along the way to do a little shopping with Carly and her mom. And we went to a Wilson store. And first off, Wilson is coming back. Like, their clothing is
really
awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Love to hear it.
But we went into the Wilson store, and they have it's a beautiful store. And then you go in the back, and there's like a basketball court set up with like tennis rackets, basketballs, like, and they're showcasing every single Wilson basketball that they've ever made. Really cool. And you know, we're getting some stuff, so we have some stuff in our hands. And Carly goes, "Why don't we ask the worker if we can, if you make 3 free throws in a row, we can get a discount on what we buy." And I doubt he'll do it, but that'd be funny. And she went up with her mom.
Dude, you should have videotaped it. This would be some great content.
I know. I wish I would have. And the guy's like, "Oh yeah, sure." He's not gonna. He didn't say this, but I could tell. Like, he didn't think I was gonna make 3 free throws in a row. And he's like, "Yeah, I'll give you guys 10% on all your guys' stuff if he makes 3 free throws in a row." So I go over, grab a basketball, and I go up to the free throw line and just swish all 3 in a row. And the guy's just looking like, "What the hell?"
Oh, that's funny.
Like, yeah, and Carly's like, after we got all those stuff paid for and walked out, she's like, "I can't believe you made 3 in a row." I was like, "I used to do this for a living. Like, this is what I like."
Did she not watch you play in college, for crying out loud?
I don't know if she was joking or being funny.
Man, she must think you're washed up if she's being serious.
Yeah, I must be.
I mean, if you don't miss the Chris Street free throw, who knows how many in a row you make?
Yeah, but I just thought it was funny because in the ceilings were like really low. So I had to like basically line drive it. And it was just really funny.
Yeah.
He was just so shocked I made 3 in a row.
It's something about like golf and basketball, the similarities they have. It's something that some guys have it where they just have that hand-eye coordination where they know how to stand away from the ball and just hit a golf ball crisp. And something about good shooters, they just, I don't know what it is about you guys. You're just, if it's just the way your elbow is perfect in your form, hand-eye, but you're just so much better than most of us at it.
I always talk about this with my dad recently because, you know, now that I'm outside of basketball and looking into it and watching more games from a fan perspective, it's funny. We've kind of had this mindset, but now that I am outside, my dad and I always talk about like shooting, and like golf is a great example, but shooting and hitting a golf ball, I do agree. There's a lot of similarities because you do have to just have that feel. Same thing with like a shooter, because how many times have we seen a guy grow up and he just can't shoot the ball. And then people are expecting, well, he just needs to work on a shot in college, and then he'll be able to start, you know, making threes and shooting threes. That's hardly ever the case. You either have it or you don't.
True.
And that's the same thing with almost golf as well, too. If you don't have that feel, you might never, ever. I mean, you're going to be okay, but I don't know. It's one of those sports. Those are two sports that, two actions that you just kind of have to be, you know, gifted at a young age after how many reps you've done.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty good friends with a guy who's a former NFL player. I became friends with his son and then got to know him really well. I played a lot of years in the NFL, Super Bowl champ, all pro, Pro Bowl lineman, Adam Timmerman. And when I'm around him, I go and help him work his cattle, and he's in his 50s now, but he's still like super athletic, running, jumping around. And like, and when I'm standing by him, because I'm someone who I had some like decent offers to play college football, and when I'm standing beside him, he's just like, it's hard to explain. It's like the way they're built, everything's just like, they're just very large humans but not fat. It's hard to describe, but everything is just big, and some people just have it. And Colin Cowherd does this, he every now and then he'll say this segment I love, and he'll be like, "All right, parents, like driving your kids to school right now, or whoever's listening to this show in your car, if your kid's in the back seat talking about how he wants to be a pro player and all this sometime, just turn around and tell him like it's not going to happen. Sorry, buddy. Don't get his hopes up and say you can try and hard and you can accomplish anything." And he goes, "No, you can't. Some people, you just
not very nice."
But it's the truth, and I love it because you have to have ability and size and athleticism, and then like you can really work on it from there. But some people, it's just never happening.
Well, I kind of disagree to an extent. I was just more talking about just the action, those actions itself, but like to make it, I mean, I don't know. I kind of go along with the fact if you just put in the work and time in, you're gonna be successful in anything you do. I mean, look at me. I'm not athletically gifted. I never dunked a basketball. I never, I never was the fastest guy. I had the best conditioning because I ran. I just ran, ran, and ran because I knew if someone was gonna be faster than me, well, at least I can outrun them on the long term instead of a short term. So
true.
I don't know.
Yep, I'm not gifted at running, but I'm gifted at lifting heavy things.
I know we need to work on have a little mismatch relationship here because I do a lot of conditioning, and I haven't lifted a weight since last July.
So, oh man, we got to do weekly content in Boji this summer, and we'll work out together while we're there, and I can thin up a little bit, and you can bulk up a bit. And we'll both be better golfers for it.
Well, I don't want to bulk up. I just want to, I don't know. I need to lift. It's hard to, because I have not, I love running and being bike. Like I can bike 20 miles easily. Like that's just.
But you got to have some muscle. That's what will carry you when you're older in life. And if you fall down or, I don't know, hit your knee or do something, like you got a little muscle, you got some strength there that'll help you recover better and it won't hurt as much.
Right. And But I'll lift a weight. I'm like, what am I doing now?
All right. We need to get together and have some training sessions.
What am I preparing for?
Oh, man. This podcast, by the way, is brought to you from the Channel Seed Studios. Channel Seed, I bet those guys are crazy busy right now, delivering seed, riding in tractors while guys are out planting. And it's a fun time of year, crazy time of year. We enjoy all of our seed dealers. Would be nice if maybe some bags of seed prices would go down a bit. But overall, love our seed dealers. And also Terraplex Ag, sponsor of this show. They feature drone technology for farming. Your farming operations nowadays are getting more and more technologically advanced, and drones are a big part of that. So reach out to Terraplex Ag. They can spray cover crop, or they can seed cover crop. They can spray foliar. They can do all sorts of stuff on your farm operation. Check them out. Drones are the future in farming. So might as well hop on early and join up with Terraplex Ag. So check out those wonderful sponsors we have. I want to drop something on you quick that I saw. Maybe you saw this. Someone calculated what Tiger Woods' iconic year 2000 would have been money-wise in today's day and age, and it's insane. So have you seen this circulating on social media? Yeah, so $10 million, what do you make? $10,703,000, almost $10,704,000 would have been a little over $92 million in today's money. And that run was insane. 9 wins. Pretty much everything else was top 5 finish, mostly top 3 actually, except for one. I think the worst he did was 18th. What an absolutely insane season. And I got to watch every single one and I loved it. That was right when I came into my like super, super Tiger fandom. Me and all my buddies would get together and watch him. It was appointment television on Sundays. So that was just crazy. Scotty Scheffler right now is on one as well. His caddy has to be a very happy man.
Someone called him to win the Masters. He's in the top 3. Not saying names.
And it was you. I'll say names. And then he won easily at the RBC last week, and he's on fire right now. He's made a little over $15 million, I think, already this season.
It's crazy.
Nuts. So good for Scotty. Oh, man, there's so much to talk about. What do you got?
Well, I did have one topic I wanted to.
Okay. Sorry, I cut you off. Look, you're about to ask something.
No, I was just saying, I mean, I was curious what you thought of Tiger because we didn't talk about it too much, but at the Masters, I mean, the thing I'll say about this, we don't have to talk about it too much about golf, but the guy's making a cut at the Augusta when there's a lot of golfers out there that didn't make the cut that were a lot younger than he was, and some would argue a lot more conditioned than he is and been playing golf for all the years, the whole year that they have been. So I don't know. It's crazy to see just like a guy come out and just play and make a cut. He hasn't played at all.
Mm-hmm. I have a feeling we're going to see him sneak in a couple top 10s this season. Probably not a win, but a couple top tens I think is within reach.
I hope he plays in more. I know his body can't take it, but he just makes his sport so much better. There's, I mean, just watch the crowds. Like even when he was plus 14, I mean, everyone was still trying to watch him, following him around when they could have been following the leaders around. It's wild.
Yeah, I'll never forget that iconic camera when they switched to the camera right when Tiger makes the. So it was at the 19 Masters when I can't remember the three guys that all went in the water, but I think Poulter went in the water and Finau went in the water. And I can't remember who the other guy was. And then Tiger just drops it right in the green, two putt par, takes the lead. And when he makes that par putt, the crowd goes nuts. And the camera guys, shout out to the camera guys in the production booth. They say to switch to Brooks, who's getting ready to tee off the hole in front of him. And they switch to Brooks. And all you hear is just roaring and chaos from the next green over, and Brooks like steps off the tee and like looks over and sees it, and then they cut to an interview with Brooks that he did later, and he's like yeah, he's like, whenever you hear that noise, it's just, you know what it was when you're out on a golf course. Only one person can make a crowd sound like that, and it was a really cool shot.
Oh, that's so special to hear. I mean the impact he's had. I mean, his clothing line I think releases on May 1st, which I'm going to be buying every single item possible. Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they make 3X.
Yeah. But, I mean, he should have done that a long time ago, but he's just – the amount of impact he's going to have for the rest of his life, even if whenever he does retire.
Yep. But, for sure. So what do you got? You said you wanted to lay something on me here.
Yeah. Are you ready for this?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. I've been thinking about it all morning.
Well, don't get too excited because this is pretty out there.
Okay.
So don't judge me here. I'm just curious to hear.
Judgment-free friendship right here.
So I don't know if you saw. I guess this is kind of bad timing because I think the guy did pass away. So a little dark humor here. But you saw a guy light himself on fire. I don't know if you saw that on the news this last week.
No.
There's a guy outside.
Lit himself on fire?
There's a guy outside of the Trump trial that was going on that lit himself on fire.
I did hear about this.
In front of everyone. And I have two thoughts before I ask you this question. One, what the hell is everyone doing? Were they just watching him light himself on fire and no one had any way to help him? Or two, how crazy and psycho do you have to be to light yourself on fire?
was he trying to prove a point?
So my question is... I don't know. I don't know the motive behind it, but my question is for you, what controversy out there in the world, not non-political or religious, but like,
oh, here we go.
What controversy out there or anything would you light yourself on fire for?
Oh my gosh. Taylor Swift. I will die on the hill that she's not good and she's overrated and she only dates guys to be able to write songs. I will light myself on fire to prove a point about that. I know I'm in the minority and all my friends get annoyed when I bring up that point. People that say that Beijing beef is better than orange chicken at Panda Express.
Mm.
I will light myself on fire for that.
Beijing beef is pretty good.
Oh, it's amazing. Nothing touches the orange chicken.
That's true.
Oh my gosh, so many takes. People, a lot of mine are food takes,
but enough. Like you're saying, you would die, light yourself on fire in front of people to prove about orange chicken over Beijing beef.
Boy, I'm pretty passionate about that orange chicken.
that one, that's a crazy one. Taylor Swift's one I get.
I don't want to make people mad, but you know, I will light myself on fire if someone tells me that I have to do it or die to prove that I love Jesus. I'll die for my relationship for Christ. Okay. Light myself on fire.
I pointed that out. Religious or political.
Maybe I should listen better.
I light myself on fire for you to listen to me.
People that say coffee's not good, I think there's something wrong with them. Wait, do you like coffee?
Love coffee.
Okay. You know, I thought so. I almost thought I insulted you there.
Speaking of coffee, I had there's days in your life where you kind of just remember forever. And I had one about a week ago.
Oh my gosh. And it was coffee related?
Yeah. It was last Thursday.
I think I need to book a plane ticket to go to this place.
No. It had nothing to do with the coffee I had. What kind of?
The poop that came from it?
Yes. I drank my coffee and around 10:45 on last Thursday, I had, it might have been one. But I'm going to put it as two for right now.
Uh-oh.
I had the number two poop I've ever had in my life. I'm not
good joking. Or bad?
No, it was awesome. Like, it was awesome. It was. I want to put out one so bad, but I had one in California a couple years ago that will never top it. But this one.
Your body likes California.
Well, just the warm air, you know, it gets my pores loosened up, gets my something else loosened up a little bit.
Oh man, I'm very happy for you. There's honestly on my other podcast, Backroads and Bonfires podcast, by the way, people should go check it out, podcast for 90s kids and beautiful Midwest humans. Anyway, we did a all-time greatest feelings draft on one of them, and my number one pick was it's just a good clean poop.
Can't beat it.
Especially when you barely have to wipe.
Well, it's just so overlooked too. Like how much of our hours and days are taken from going to the bathroom? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you want to enjoy them?
Yeah, exactly. That's why I need to cut down on the amount of hot sauce I eat, because sometimes it makes a very unenjoyable experience.
See, I'm different. I love jalapenos. And
I love spicy food so much.
Jalapenos like make me actually have better situations when I drop Lincoln Logs.
Interesting. Oh man, this is the off season. This is what we talk about. Oh man. Is there something that you would light yourself on fire for? Tiger versus Jack.
What?
I think Tiger versus Jack. I think Tiger's easily the number one. I don't even think he can be debated.
Well, there's a lot of things I can't say because it'll get too political or religious, or people think I'm psychotic. I'll go the easy one. This is kind of the coward's way out for me.
No such thing.
That Fran McCaffrey is a great basketball coach.
Oh, there we go. I could dig that.
Yeah. I mean, that's easy.
Yeah. That's a good one right there.
There's people out there who don't believe it. They don't want to believe it.
Yeah, well, I used to be one of those people, and then I kind of got educated.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's one thing to critique a guy, but come on, let's be logical.
Yep, that's a good one right there. Speaking of Fran McCaffrey, let's talk a little Iowa basketball quick, shall we? Iowa got Drew, I don't know if it's Thelwell or Telwell, a commit in the portal, Iowa's first portal commit. He was at Morehead State. I saw him play in person, actually, against Illinois in Omaha. And although Illinois completely unraveled that team, I did think that this kid looked pretty decent. They didn't have any shooters on that team, which is a problem, which obviously he'll have better shooters at Iowa. Hopefully Peyton comes back, but even with Dix and some other guys, I think they'll have better shooters. Averaged 10 points and 6 assists at Morehead State. Add some athleticism and depth to obviously a position where we need more people. So that's one of hopefully a couple, at least one more guy, hopefully we get, or two more. Iowa's also targeting, let's see here, his name is Matt Cross. He was first team All Atlantic 10. Last season, plays for UMass, averaged 15 and 7, I think, for UMass. 15 and 8 and 1.5 steals per game. Not a great three-point shooter. I think it was around 30%. Doesn't look like someone who's going to lock someone down on defense and shut them down. It's a little just kind of an undersized 4'6", 7'6", 8", but does look like he fits that mold of someone who will score a lot of points and definitely contribute offensively. So we'll see if Fran can land him. Jeff Goodman reported that Iowa was hard after him, so we'll see what happens there. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on Tellwell and what might be the future for the Hawks. If we get this guy, we still need, would still love to get one more good, big, like just interior defender who we don't need to score a lot, just be nasty, get rebounds and play defense.
Yeah, my thoughts are on transfers, and I kind of disagreed with that last year. First of all, I hate when the commentators and reporters, all these so-called basketball experts out there, start talking about these transfers and what they're going to mean to these teams, and they have no idea. Okay, I'm just going to put it right. They have no idea. So, people shut up. Like, you literally have no idea what you're talking about. They're going to have to feel the game, figure out so much as part of what they're going to run on offense. That takes a while. Defensive schemes, the first few games might not be the best. And I'm not saying this about every transfer, because you're going to have your outliers of the top, you know, like the 15, 20 guys out there that are in the transfer portal. Those guys are going to be successful just because they have abilities to. But all the rest of the transfers out there, like a lot of the guys that schools like Iowa are getting, you guys have no idea what they're going to do. I'm sorry, but like, if people get offended by that, you guys literally have no idea. You have a little idea of what they did at the previous school, but a guy that at Morehead State transferring into Iowa, you know, you never know. You never know what it's going to end like or what it's going to be like. So a lot of times I just think, let's just play it out. Let's see how, you know, preseason goes, what Fran starts talking about. Obviously, Fran's always going to be positive for guys, but I don't know. That's one of my pet peeves out there with these basketball analysts. I think they watch all these guys play basketball at these schools and, oh, they're going to be the best thing ever. They're going to be averaging 25 points per game at Iowa or, you know, at Wisconsin. Yep. And
it's all about fit.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Yeah. Speaking of Wisconsin, AJ Storr went to Kansas. Kansas has been really big on landing transfers the last few years. I feel like that kind of goes away from what they do, though. I feel like those Kansas teams that have made Final Fours and won titles are full of 3- and 4-year starters that maybe one of them was a top 10, top 15 recruit, but majority of them are 30 to 50, and they're guys who are going to stick around for 3-4 years, and Bill Self will develop and stuff. But, I mean, AJ Storr, you know, Hunter had a great year. Obviously, injuries decimated that team, but AJ Storr will probably be quite successful at Kansas, I would assume. It's just, it's kind of weird. You see a guy like that, and you, like, want him to – I want to get familiar with him in the Big Ten and cheer against him for 3 seasons and – watch the development and the rivalry with him and other Hawks and stuff develop. And those days are just gone, man.
I think AJ Storr kind of fits a perfect mold for Kansas, and it'll be exciting to see how he does fit in. But again, like even with a guy like that, he's really athletic. He's capable to shoot the ball, getting to the basket. I don't know how much that's going to play a part into Kansas being successful. You know, he might not even be a starter. Who knows? Just because how good Kansas with the guys they bring in, but I'm a really solid player that will have an impact on the team. I saw Cision went to, where do you go? I'm already blanking. Nebraska. Hoiberg.
Oh yeah. Connor. Connor Cision.
Yep.
Hoiberg. Nebraska.
Yeah. I'm happy for Hoiberg. I hope he does really well this next couple years. He deserves it.
Yeah, I think Nebraska, if Rink Mast comes back next year, I think they'll be in the tournament again, probably.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah. And to go back to Kansas, too, I haven't told him this. I think Hunter Dickinson should come back for another year. I'm like, you're going to be making way more at Kansas than you're going to be playing, you know, maybe a two-way contract even. Like, you're lucky to make what you're going to be making at Kansas on a two-way. So, I don't know.
Hear me out. Get him to transfer to Iowa. Pedersen beef NIL deal.
I think
all he might be, the beef your heart desires.
I think he might be more. You might need a whatever that budget you could go for Hunter. He might be 100 times that.
All right, I'll five instead of one beef. I'll do five.
Maybe 10.
Oh, man. Transfer portal, more transfer portal stuff. Since we have last talked, this feels like it happened so long ago, but Iowa women landed a big-time recruit in the portal. Villanova star guard Lucy Olson, she averaged 23.3 points per game last year. She's 5'8", I think, so she's a lot shorter than Caitlin, but I think she'll hopefully, you know, like you talked about with fit and stuff like that, but Bluter and Jensen, it just seems like so good with their culture and stuff. I think she'll have a nice transition into the program. She's a big shot maker. She hits three. She can step back, create. So I think, I mean, I personally, with her, Stolke, Fearbach, everyone were returning, I do think that Iowa will be a fringe top 25 team next year and definitely in the tournament again, the women. And then for the upcoming seasons after that, adding Addison Deal, Ava Heitman, some other people we have, I think the Hawk women, if they get a few people that it sounds like they're hopefully going to get, they could be some, our women could be some dogs for the next 4 or 5 seasons.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This might be a dumb question, but is the Swarm part of the women's basketball team too?
Yes, it is. And Heinrichs, I actually heard him do an interview. He said a lot of donations coming in have been said that they need to be used for women's. And so I honestly think, I don't know if we're getting more, but it sounds like there's potential where more money could be going to the women's program than the men's, unfortunately.
So but how does it,
hyped
how
up
does,
about the women right now?
How does this work? Because I'm confused on the whole NIL collective, because it's just a confusing concept and bizarre concept to me. But I originally thought like they just pulled the money together and then they allocated it based off the need for percentage wise.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're able to donate money and say where they want it to go to.
It sounds like that's what's happening, is people are saying like, I want to donate a bunch of money and I want it to be, now ultimately if that actually happens or not, I don't think he probably has to like disclose like, hey, I'll send you a text and let you know if your $100 helped us land this women's recruit. But it sounds like that's kind of like what there's a lot of people that are very passionate about this women's program right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, they deserve to be after the season they had. You know, just think about the money the university brought in with the,
oh my word,
back to back years. Think about how much money was brought in.
You said 82 and a half million to the Iowa City economy during these last 2 years of women's basketball.
Mm-hmm. And what it gets overlooked is a lot of people don't understand this aspect of it. Like, for example, like when Oral Roberts went through and they made their run in the NCAA tournament, how much publicity just that university gets by them making that run. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Iowa. You think about how much publicity Iowa got because of the run that they made these last 2 years, and think about the amount of kids that want to go to Iowa now because of that.
Yeah.
And now on the tuition side of things, I mean, that's a whole nother ball game of how much money they're going to start bringing in because of that.
Yep. Well, I mean, and Addison Deal is not a Hawk without Caitlin Clark, without all those games being on TV, hearing the insane crowd, seeing the sellouts and the long lines at opposing arenas. We're not going out and getting a 5-star guard from California to come play for Iowa without that happening. And I think it's going to have long-lasting effect. If she's a stud and some players have got coming with her and it keeps rolling, they could build one heck of a one heck of a deal here. And it's, I mean, we've been good for 20 years, the women have, but this is like the next level up.
Right. The same concept as like Kansas. I mean, Kansas is in the middle of nowhere, but they got really good because they had a few teams that took off, and then all of a sudden they built a dynasty and they had people that wanted to join that. And one thing led to another. Kansas became Kansas basketball, and and that's all it takes. Same thing with UConn. UConn became UConn basketball because a few teams, and it's just a huge ripple effect and domino effect.
Yes, sir. Man, let's talk about, while we're on this, let's just talk, why don't we have a lot of time left here? Because this could take up a chunk. Let's talk about some NIL. I have questions. I know you have thoughts. And I do want to get to some football at the end, but, and I do have a lot of other basketball stuff, but I need to get your thoughts on some NIL stuff. And I want to hear, there's a, what was it, the case about you can just transfer and play right away and all that stuff's happened now. And is there a lawsuit happening also?
Yep, there. I don't think what... Yeah, and I'm glad we can dive a little bit more into it, because I don't think people realize, the normal fan, how much behind the scenes is going on in trials and in cases outside of everything that's occurring with basketball and football and college sports as a whole. So I urge everyone just to do a little research of the amount of cases that are against the NCAA currently right now, because you're going to be overwhelmed. And keep in mind, it's been, this has been going on for decades on end, and it's finally coming to more faster pace because of what happened in the Alston case to, for the educational benefits. And it was a 9-0 ruling, and you saw the opinions that occurred within the justices with the Supreme Court and how much they are in favor. And some of them even calling out the NCAA of how it's unfair trade practice, antitrust issues, all these things about how much the NCAA has been violating, you know, business law and rules for all this time. And now that has accelerated a lot of these cases. And one of them that I've actually had a hand in is, has recently been on huge public eye here recently, and the NCPA. So the NCPA is the National Collegiate Player Association. And I know we talked about it a little bit, Adam, but I'm actually, I'm technically not affiliated with them anymore, because there's a rule. We've gotten funding in a way where the funding provides ability to us to technically go find athlete representatives that want to represent their schools and conferences. And we can actually pay them a salary or so-called hourly wage for them to help out with NCPA. So it's a great organization. Hmm. It's ran by Ramogi Huma, who arguably is one of the most influential people to ever come through college athletics. And again, I urge you guys to, that are listening, to research Ramogi Huma. He's a, just an outstanding leader, and I've learned so much through him through the years. But the reason I'm not affiliated with them anymore is because the funding occurs while you can only be 2 years removed in order to be able to be an athlete representative of the NCPA. So now I'll just do voluntary stuff. Like, for example, today I have a call with a reporter that's doing an article piece on Ramogi explaining NCPA. So I'm always going to be there for him because of what he has been able to, you know, he's dedicated his life to helping college athletes, and he doesn't have to do that. He could be way better off doing a lot of better different things, making a lot more money, but he's put his foot down and really helped college athletes for the future, you know, hundreds of next decades because of what he's being able to do with a lot of different cases. But one of them he's playing a hand in right now is USC and UCLA. The NLRB is looking at the case of potentially ruling in the favor of UCLA and USC athletes being employees. And they just had some examinations, bunch of interviews by these athletes. They were put on asking by the committees and all this stuff that's occurring within that case itself. And, you know, it's a pretty huge case because if they are deemed employees, which it is looking like they will be here in a fairly certain amount of time, like within the next week or so, if that's the case, then that's going to open up a huge wall of legislation and lawsuits across every other state. And we know the NCAA is probably going to try to appeal the ruling that occurs with the NLRB and what they ultimately decide. But this is going to open up a huge window for college athletics. And ultimately, this is what we were talking about, Adam, a few weeks ago about NIL collectives and, you know, the purpose of them. In my opinion, if this case happens, NIL collectives are probably going to go out the door, because now there's going to be some guardrails, there's going to be some guidelines, there's going to be contracts in place now where schools are now going to be the ones paying the players, which ultimately that's what they should happen. There should be contracts to pay the players by the universities. There should be contracts by third parties or NIL members or NIL businesses that want to contribute to the school's success, and they endorse the athletes, and that's another contract. So there's going to be, you know, collective bargaining. There's going to be all these things that are going to occur within. I think if this lawsuit goes the way it sounded like, so there's just so much behind the scenes, Adam. I mean, I can go on and on about what's occurring, but because there's lawsuits on the NIL side as well too. And, there's actually a case that, Jay Billis refers to all the time, where there's an NIL case where people that were a part of NIL, they now have access to missing some of the payments that could have occurred, or the value that they missed out on when they're at universities. There's a case on that whole side as well too. So to kind of encompass it all, Adam, think about the amount of money the NCAA is paying in lawyer and attorney fees right now by just going against the athletes and not doing what's right and making a common sense, you know, package of what this all should look like in college sports. And it's not an amateur model anymore. They should make it a professional model, but they're doing everything they can not to do that. And so I know that was a lot for a lot of listeners, and probably for you, Adam, but just know there's so much behind the scenes right now that it's shaping up a lot better for transfer portal, for NIL, for payment to be an employees as universities. So yeah, it's going to be a lot better off here pretty soon.
Would that come through? So like, if this happens, is like every athlete, is there going to be like a standard rate that a football player gets paid, a basketball player, and will it come through like revenue sharing, or how do you think they'll get paid?
I think it should work the exact same way as NBA, as WNBA works, as MLB.
Okay, so you have an agent who some people will make more, some less?
Well, there will be the aspect of revenue sharing where, just like professional sports does, it's, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's all the same percentages of the revenue they get for these athletes by what they bring in. So it's going to work in the same hand in hand, like those models work. And why wouldn't it be? I mean, you think about the profit that's produced based, or revenue that's produced off these athletes in college, it's very similar to how NBA, how all those professional sports work. They're on TV, they're producing entertainment, and in turn, there's dollars that are going out the door that aren't going into the college sports pocket, players' pockets, but they're going the professional models' pockets, like they're doing for MLB, NBA, all those associations. So it's probably going to be set up. It should be set up in the same way. That's what at NCPA with Ramogi, that's what we're big on, is there should be some sort of collective bargaining. There should be profit sharing. There should be all these things. Because, I mean, you look at what the coaches are making. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. A lot of the college coaches are making more than professional coaches because there's no revenue sharing in college sports to go back to the players itself.
So this isn't me trying to push back. This is me just having like a thought. I know I used to think this way. I'm a little more open to change now and getting paid, but there was a time where I thought, isn't the scholarship and the free school and the swag and the notoriety that comes with being an athlete and the all the room and board, everything's covered. And usually, you know, if you're an athlete, your name gets to like the top of the list. You leave school debt free. I was always like, oh, that's gonna be good enough. Why? But now I'm totally like, I think you should get that. Plus, you should be able to make like some partnership deals and stuff like that. But is the like, will scholarships and all everything that came with that like go away, and your payment will just cover your school and stuff like that? Or because then it almost feels like, man, they're really getting a bunch if they're getting all this plus like the payment. Or how will, I don't know, maybe that's just too much to discuss right now because they have to see what shakes out.
No, that's all great questions. And that's
what would you say to the person who says, like, isn't the scholarship and the free school and everything else enough?
And that's what everyone says, why they shouldn't be employees. But there's a couple routes we always go with this question. And I'll just take this as I go here. But one of them you have to think about is the amount of money that they're, because I'm going to tie this in on the university side, you think about the amount of money some of these athletes are making in the NIL space. It's well above. And this is, and the reason why I'm tying it back to universities is because they're technically getting paid by the fans. So, you know, it's money that probably should already be being paid by the universities, but they're not doing it. They're just having the fans do it, which is wrong in my opinion. I think that should be illegal, but it is what it is at this point. But you think about that amount of money they're bringing in from that side of things, right? You think about how much of money a tuition costs. Well, it is a good chunk of money, but I would argue, and we've ran the numbers all day long, what they're getting on a scholarship and a room aboard, it's still nowhere near what these athletes are worth, nowhere near at all. And on a yearly basis, you'll see, you know, anytime that anyone gets more in depth with me, I show them numbers, because we've actually done, we've worked with agencies and associations with the NCPA, and they've actually ran the numbers of what salaries are across the board for the Power Five conferences. I think in Michigan basketball, when it was the year after COVID for women's Michigan basketball, I think we did a level where everyone had the same salary, let's just say, to keep it even for rough numbers. It was like $250,000 these athletes were worth salary wise per year based off what they're bringing into the university. And that's well above what a tuition is, obviously, per year. Mm-hmm. So if you run the numbers all day long, what comes in, what goes out, tuition will never, ever be, you know, it'll always be lower than what these athletes are worth, just because of the publicity that occurs and the revenue that occurs as well, too. So that's kind of one side of things, which I think kind of try to encompasses all, but, there's just so much to play at hand of what these athletes are worth. It's hard to even explain it to, the common fan, because this is a new situation, right? The NCAA has never been deeming their, college athletes as employees. So it's a brand new market. And as I saw the first year with NIL, and now, I mean, NIL skyrocketed into deals that are worth well over seven figures. Caitlin Clark has an eight-figure deal with Nike.
Mm-hmm.
So, I forgot where I was going with my second point, but the tuition and board itself is nowhere near what these athletes are worth, and that's pretty obvious when you look down into the actual numbers of what's occurring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think
I remember my second point.
Oh, go ahead.
My second point to go along with that is, you know, the other thing we can talk about, okay, well, if people aren't okay with athletes getting scholarships anymore because they're employees, well, for one, they're college athletes. They're not student athletes. They're not there. You know, Caitlin Clark didn't go to Iowa to get a scholarship for academics and go to school every single day. Mm-hmm. She's there for the basketball program. People are transferring for basketball, for football, not for schools. That's not the case for 99% of the athletes out there. So, you know, one of the arguments will say, well, if that's the case, well, why don't we just get away with the tuition and scholarships, and they can pay their own way if they want to be a part of the academic programs. And, you know, in my sense, that makes sense. Well, they're not there for school in the first place. So why are you making them take, you know, 12 credits a semester, and having to deal with that burden as well too? And half these athletes are going to go on, not half the athletes, but some of these athletes are going to go on and play professional anyway. So, and they can pay their own right if they want to, and they're going to make enough money to do that.
Yep. It's a man, it's a fascinating world. Be interesting to see what college sports looks like in 5 years. I think the thing that bums me out most about college sports is I'm kind of a traditionalist. I love the way the conferences were in like the early 2000s before. I'm not a huge fan of realignment. I just like the regional aspect of what it was and the traditional aspect of that. And I understand like Jack Nungy's situation. Totally get why a guy would transfer if something like that happens. The occasional transfer back in the day, I got that. But I just like when guys stick around and you build familiarity with these guys on these teams and your conference and rivalries happen and stuff. And I just don't think I like the amount of which people are transferring now. It just is out of control. And it just feels like some guys have committed like to four different teams in 4 years and just going to keep moving along. And I don't know. Part of the joy of college sports for me was familiarity you got with guys and stuff like that. It just, I don't like the how much movement is happening.
And I totally agree with you. I mean, I'm always going to be on the player side where they should have the freedom. You know, mm-hmm. it's their lives. They shouldn't be that restricted. If coaches can do it, they should too. But it's also from the other aspect, from knowing more about these kids and understanding the situation they come from, because that plays a huge part into it all too. But I think also we talked about this about a month ago, Adam, if you remember, of how much money can bring out the good and bad in people. And yep. what we're seeing is a lot of kids out there, we're seeing how they were raised, the parent influential, their mom and dad figures in their lives, how they raised them up to be the kind of kids they are, the kind of coaches these coaches actually are too, because we see every single week there's a coach that's doing something wrong out there. There's not a lot of great coaches out there, in my opinion, that are truly, I don't want to say happy individuals, but good individuals mm-hmm. out there in society. There's a lot of good ones as well too. Don't get me wrong, but I think just as the whole NIL era out, Adam, and we've touched on this heavily, is just it's bringing out a lot of the good and a lot of the bad out there. And personally, I don't have a problem with it, because we're seeing the true shadiness of some individuals out there, and I think it should be shown because they've been doing this for years on end. Or on the kids aspect, a lot of kids are just they weren't raised the right way or didn't have any figures in their life to help them out to really be successful at this stage of time in their life. And you know, there's going to be mistakes and they're going to learn, but I don't know. I just think the less restrictions we can put on them, the better. And I don't think the college landscape is ever going to go away, Adam. So I don't want you to worry about that. Like conferences, schools, universities, they're going to make their money. I can guarantee you they're going to make their money to make sure this show keeps going on the road. And the day it doesn't, I think we're going to have bigger problems in the world, that college sports is going to not be one of them to worry about. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I just think trying to like bring it full picture in the end, Adam, NCAA should have done something a long time ago. They had that opportunity to, they've had the ability to, and they're still going against us, the athletes and the schools and all the other people out there that want freedoms. And they're still doing, you know, paying hundreds of millions of dollars in lawyer fees every single year.
Yep. I wrote a note. We can end on this for talking about some football stuff. I wrote a note at the bottom of my basketball notes, says the leaderless, pathetic NCAA is slowly killing itself and is too dumb to see it.
Well, they're not too dumb to see it. You might think like that, but you also got to think they've been thinking like a business for profit for centuries on end. And now their cartel has finally been brought to the public eye. And now they're scrambling to hide their drugs.
Yeah, I just wish it would have been proactive like years ago. If the NCAA initiates the conversation and they work together, it's probably a nice smooth transition and not chaotic like it is now.
Yeah, 100%. And a big problem with the whole entity itself, another, you know, behind the scenes thing that the normal fan doesn't know about, the NCAA, yes, they have a president and they have administrators and they have all these people that are higher ups in the organization itself. Mm-hmm. They have a group called the Board of Governors that essentially makes the rules, makes the decisions, tells the puppet president what to do every single day. I'm not making this shit up. This is what happens. And guess who these Board of Governors are made up of who they are. If you were to guess what kind of position they held.
ADs
at schools, administrators at universities, presidents. Yep. These are the people that refuse to make a change. And why is that, Adam? Because if they made a change, they're going to lose less money. That's just how it works. They're thinking about their own universities. They're thinking about their own sports. They're thinking about their own entities. And they're the ones making a decision as a collective for the NCAA. I mean, how corrupt is that? If that's not corrupt, I don't know what's not.
Not as corrupt as Nancy Pelosi.
With no athlete. And on top of it, the athletes that represent the schools and play the sports, mm-hmm. they're not represented. Why is some of them not on the Board of Governors? Why are they not the ones making decisions? It's backwards. It's crazy. It's corrupt.
I don't think this will be the last time that we have a conversation about this.
I have a lot of
changes in thoughts going to be happening.
I have a lot of thoughts always on this topic.
I also had some more that I wanted to get to, but I figure we can save it for a later episode because I want to close out with a little football. First, I want to talk about old buddy boy, Ed Podolak. Did you see the news about him?
Yeah.
Stepping out of the booth after 42 years of calling football games. He'll still be a part of the pregame show, I think, but he won't be in the booth with Dolph anymore. 27 years for those guys together. I almost had a tear come to my eye when I heard the news because I'm a very nostalgic person. I mean, my other podcast is literally like a nostalgia podcast. But I just, when you're a farmer, you have to work during football season. You commit to missing half the games. You're going to be working on Saturdays, missing the games. And so you get the radio and like Ed and Gary together has become a staple of my life, my dad's life, so many of my friends' lives. And it's just like, I don't know, it just brought me back to a Saturday. It's like 48 degrees and about combining. And you're getting Ed and Gary laughing. And one of the things I loved about Ed is he was not afraid to say what he thought. He would call out players if he thought they were being stupid or making a bad play. And it was always fun to listen to Gary try to counteract Ed and kind of get him back on track because Gary probably thought, oh, boy, I bet people, our bosses aren't going to like that. And it's just, I don't know, he's just a one-of-a-kind guy, amazing at what he did. And I think of, like, Hawkeye fans that were deployed overseas, families on road trips. How many of them have core memories of Ed bringing them analysis during a game and all of his humor and his – he would always have his patented grovelly laugh that was in the background while Gary was freaking out, calling some amazing play. And Ed was just so excited and beside himself. You could just hear him in the background chuckling. And such a just joy to listen to over the years. Big shoes to fill for whoever they get. But, man, that guy is a Hawkeye legend, a staple of, like, Hawkeye broadcasts.
Yeah. Your pops
know him?
Oh, yeah.
They good buddies or friends?
Oh yeah, him. Dolph.
We got to get Ed on this podcast.
Yeah, they're both legends. I think the world of both of them, and so does my family.
Yeah,
and you're exactly right. That's Iowa football. I mean, I don't care what's happened. If even when Gary Dolphin had, you know, a couple hot mic situation, I mean, people love the guy. The guy is just a great, loving human being that. You know, I've had personal relationships with him as well as Ed, and yeah, they're great people. The first time I met Ed, I obviously we knew him really well as a family, but I never really got to meet him until after my freshman year. Dolph calls me. He goes, "J-Bo, buddy boy." I go, "Dolph, what's up, my man?" And he's like, "I'm doing iClub back in a Dubuque. Great track. You're gonna love it. Great course. You know, we'll have some fun. You be in my group. We'll meet some people. It'll be a great time."
You have no idea how jealous you're making me right now. So continue.
And I go, "Dolph, yeah, I'm there. I'm your guy. I'll be your guy on your team." He's like, "Great. See you then." Hang up. And I get there about a couple weeks later in Dubuque. And Ed's in our group as well, too. Great guy. Yes. Met him. We had just a fantastic time in that summer and got to know him, you know, even better than what our family did. And yeah, they're just great, great human beings.
Love it, man. Honestly, my favorite moment maybe ever with those two was the game last year when he was, they had a sponsorship with like a edible or a weed company and they were doing a read for it. And Ed was doing the read and Iowa's offense was a typical bad day. And Gary makes a subtle little comment like, "Oh, we could probably use some of that right now to get through this game." And they just bust out laughing and they can't contain themselves. And it's one of the most hilarious radio calls. And I'll never forget. I remember the field I was in and the direction I was driving while I was listening at the combine, just dying laughing. It was so great. I love those guys. They're so awesome. Yeah, so congrats, Ed. Oh my gosh. No one can fill those shoes. Hopefully whoever they get next will just be as awesome, but there's only one Ed Podolak, man. That guy was one of a kind.
He's a legend. He really is.
Oh, I know we're up against the clock, so I'll just say good luck to all of Iowa's football players. I have this, I'm probably giving myself false hope that the Chiefs, because they got rid of Mike Edwards and Legarius Sneed, are going to use some of the stuff they got returned to draft up and take Cooper, and Cooper's going to be a Chief. Selfishly, I just want that, but the Chiefs will probably get a wide receiver. But it would be amazing if Coop was the Chief.
I hope he goes there.
Gosh, it'd be incredible. He would just thrive in that organization. So I have a feeling if the Chiefs don't trade up, he's probably going to go to the Lions. The Lions love their Iowa boys, and he'll just tear it up there with Jack Campbell and Laporta. And I'm just happy for him wherever he goes. He gets to very, very, very soon, he will get to realize a childhood dream, and I'm very happy for him. Don't even know the guy, but I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So, and good luck to, I think, Logan Lee on the fringe, Joe Evans. I could see them getting undrafted free agents and working their butt off to hopefully make a team. Eric All, we're thinking, and Torrey Taylor, maybe around late third, fourth round in there for those guys. So good luck to all the Hawks out there. We'll know more next Tuesday. How about that? Mm-hmm. We'll know more next Tuesday where everyone's going.
Yep.
So, well, thank you to Channel Seeds and Terraplex Ag and also DRF Sportsbooks. I know it's the off season of all the sports that people really love to gamble on, but take it from all of my degenerate friends. You can win a lot of money on random soccer in Europe and baseball. So apparently they're doing that a lot. So hop on DRF, gamble responsibly, but check them out. They are Iowa's locally owned sports book, only in Iowa. So you'll get great service from them. And if you reach out and have thoughts or ideas on how they can improve the site, they will listen. So check out DRF Sportsbook and also the Iowa Event Center. Tons of fun entertainment there to check out. That's all I got, brother.
That was a memory.
We made memes. I can't wait to get out and play golf one of these days. What I'm most excited about right now, though, is being able to take a piss when we end this. My bladder is about to blow. So much coffee. All right. You're a great human, Jordan. I love you, pal. We'll see everyone next time on Making Mems.
Iowa everywhere.